For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. This is a private recording to make up a shiur that I gave last night on April 26th of our Parshas Bamidbar class that I forgot to record. So we're going to do it now privately for anybody who wants to hear it online. We are in Parshas Korach on page 824 in the Stone Chumash. And again, this was given on April the 26th. We are up to Pasuk Chav Gimel, verse 23. We haven't had shir in a long time. And the last thing that happened is that we had Korach and Dathan and Aviram and Korach's 250 men ganging up against Moshe Rabbeinu. And Korach managed to get the entire Jewish people to rally behind him in his rebellion. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the name of Hashem, had set up a contest or a showdown between Korach and his men and Aaron, that everybody would take a fire pan and burn ketores, and one would live and be the Kohen Gadol, the other ones would all die. Hashem then tells Moshe and Aaron that they should separate from the Jewish people and he will destroy the entire Jewish people. To which Moshe and Aaron say that one man sins and you're going to kill everybody. And Hashem says, you're right, I'm not going to kill everybody. We pointed out last time that this is now going to be similar to Kriyas Yamsuf, in which Hashem is going to punish only the sinners. And it's going to be a very specific punishment, very, very miraculous, in that he will single out those who are the sinners and they will be destroyed and the other ones will live. The other important point we've been making, which we're going to reiterate in this shiur, which is very critical for this part of the class, is that Korach and Dathan and Aviram have two different reasons why they are in this fight. Korach is upset about Aaron being the Kohen Gadol, and he wants to be the Kohen Gadol himself. And therefore he believes that Moshe Rabbeinu is practicing nepotism, and that even though Moshe Rabbeinu is the Navi of Hashem, but still there are times when Moshe Rabbeinu has, for his own reasons, has decided to say things that are not from Hashem. So he's questioning the authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu. Dathan and Aviram, ever since Mitzrayim, have believed that Moshe Rabbeinu is an inept leader, that he's really not an appropriate leader, does not do a good job in leading the people. And they have been a thorn in Moshe Rabbeinu's side for a very long time. So we are again, Pasuk Chav Gimel, verse 23. And here we are going to have that incredible miracle of the ground opening up. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemar, Hashem speaks to Moshe saying, Daber el ha'ida lemar, speak to the congregation saying, Hey alumi saviv l'mishkan Korach Dathan va'aviram, which they translate here as, get yourselves up, hey alu, remove yourselves from around the tents, around the area of Korach and Dathan and Aviram. Now Korach was a Levi and lived with the Bnei Kahas, with that group of the Levim. Dathan and Aviram are from Reuven, and they live in the tribe of Reuven. Their tents should not have been near each other, meaning even though Reuven is adjacent to Kahas, but still it's two separate camps. And therefore, they should not have had tents right next to each other. So I did see someone want to suggest that Korach had his main living tent in the area of Levi, but he had another tent, which he kept outside of the Levium's camp, and actually in Reuven's camp, near Reuven's camp, where he had the people of his household, like his slaves, etc., they lived over there. But we're going to see that it doesn't make a difference. It could be that Korach and Dathan Aviram's tents were not right next to each other, and nevertheless, it's going to be, the same punishment is going to take place anyway. Vayaka Moshe, Vayelech el Dasan Vaaviram. Moshe got up and he went to Dasan Vaaviram. Vayelchu Acharav Ziknei Yisrael, and the elders of Israel went after him. Here, the Chazal point out that this is a difficult pasuk. What does it mean? He got up and he went to Dasan and Aviram. Hashem tells him, go to the people, tell the people who are living near Korach and Dasan and Aviram, they should move away. So what do you mean he got up and he went to Dasan and Aviram? First of all, what about Korach? Second of all, it should say he got up and he went to the people who were around Dasan and Aviram. So Chazal say that, and Rashi brings it here, that really Moshe Rabbeinu went to Dasan and Aviram hoping that they would show respect for him and that they would therefore be spared. Because remember, Dasan and Aviram's issue was a disrespect of Moshe Rabbeinu. If they would have shown him respect over here, they didn't have to just completely give in on the whole machlokas. All they had to do was show him some respect. If he would have gone and they would have shown respect, then they would have been spared, because they're not in this because they believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is practicing nepotism. Korach is questioning Moshe Rabbeinu's entire the Torah that he's giving us. Korach is, as we know, one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, one of the 13 articles of faith that we have, is that the entire Torah is authentic, and it is from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Hashem. Korach is saying that no, sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu makes things up. So the Korach is finished. He's going to have to be destroyed in order to preserve the authenticity of the Torah. Dasan and Aviram could have just shown respect to Moshe Rabbeinu and his leadership, and they would have been spared. But instead, they still scorn him, and therefore they are also now going to have to be destroyed. Vayaka Moshe, I'm sorry, just read that. Pasuk Chava, verse 26. Vayidaber al ha'ido lemor. Now he delivers Hashem's message. He speaks to the congregation saying, Suru na me'al ohaleho anashim harashoim o'ele. Remove yourselves now from upon the tents of these evil people. Ve'al tig'u b'chol ha'shalem. Don't touch anything that belongs to them. Penti safu b'chol chatosam. Lest you also become, how do they translate it here? Lest you perish, okay, tisafu, lest you be destroyed, b'chol chatosam, and all of their sins. They need to separate not only from the people, but even from their possessions. Don't get involved in their possessions at all. Stay away from them. They are dangerous, they are bad influences, and their possessions are tainted. The Ramban here invokes the story of, or evokes, I should say, the story of Lot, that when he left Sodom, they were commanded not even to look back. And when his wife looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt. There could be no connections whatsoever between those leaving Sodom and Sodom itself. And here as well, there could be no connections whatsoever. Stay away from them completely. They're about to be destroyed, and all of their wealth with them. Vayeyalu me'al mishkan Korach, Dasan va'aviram misaviv. So they remove themselves from the area of Korach, the tents of Korach, and Dasan va'aviram around, all around them. V'dasan va'aviram yatsu nitzavim. Dasan va'aviram, they came out and they were arrogant. They came out standing in an arrogant way. Pesach ahaleim, at the entrance of their tents. Unesheim uvenehem vitapam. Their wives, their children, and even their little children, the babies. Rashi here tells us that bo urei kamakasha hamachlokes. Come and see how difficult is machlokes. Because we know that the Beis Din, the court upstairs in Shamayim, only punishes for people who are 20 years and older. And the Beis Din here in this world, meaning flesh and blood Beis Din, only punishes for a boy who is 13 years old and up and a girl who's 12 years and up. But a minor is not punished. When it comes to machlokes, everybody is destroyed. Even the babies get destroyed. They didn't do anything wrong. But machlokes is a conflagration that destroys everything. Everything gets wiped away with machlokes. It's very, very devastating and terrible. And that is what happens over here. Vayomer Moshe. Moshe says, "Bezos teidun." With this, you will know, "Ki Hashem shlachani." Hashem has sent me. La'asos eis kol ha'masim ho'ele, to do all of these things. Ki lo mi libi. It is not from my own heart, my own thinking. I didn't make up anything over here. I did everything in the name of Hashem. I made the Levim the ones who would take over for the Bechoros, for the firstborn. I made that Elitzafan ben Uziel would be the leader of Kahas. That's not from me, that's from Hashem. And that Aaron is the Kohen Gadol. That's not from me, it's from Hashem. Im kemos kol ha'adam yimusun eila. If, like everybody regularly dies, that's how these people will die. Ufkudas kol ha'adam yipaken alehem. And what is normally visited upon regular people will be visited upon them. Lo Hashem shlachani, then Hashem did not send me. If everything happens to them in the normal way, then Hashem did not send me. The Gemara tells us there is a hint here, a remez, to bikur cholim, to not visiting the sick. That's a mistranslation of the term bikur cholim. Bikur does not mean to visit. Bikur means to investigate or bikur means to look into, to see what they need. That's what it means. Bikur cholim means to see the needs, to investigate the needs of the sick. One can do bikur cholim without even being there. Of course, it's better if you're there, because then you can see better what's going on. And also the sick person may feel bolstered by your visit. But the true meaning of bikur cholim is to attend to the needs and look into the needs of the sick. So there's a remez here, there's a hint here to bikur cholim, because it says, if they will die the regular way. Regular way is a person gets very old and then gets sick and then dies. That's the normal way that the world works. So if that happens to these people, Hashem did not send me, says Moshe Rabbeinu. So the way it says it is, im kemos kol ha'adam yimusun eila, if these people die the regular way. And how is that? Ufkudas kol ha'adam yipaken alehem. And they are what normally happens to people happens to them. That seems to be repetitious. So the Chazal say it means that just as regular people, after they get old, then they are the ufkudas kol ha'adam yipaken alehem. All people, they look into them, they visit them, they see what's going on with them, they help them out. As what normally happens with an elderly sick person, so then that means it's they're going through the regular course of events. Then Hashem did not send me. But v'imbriya yivra Hashem, Hashem creates a creation. Ufatzasoha adama aspia, and the ground opens its mouth. Uvalo some eskol hashalahem, and it follows them and all that they have. V'yardu chayim sheola, they go down alive to the grave, to the depths. Vidatem kiniatsu hanashima elas Hashem, then you will know that these men, these people have angered Hashem. If a miracle happens and the ground opens up and swallows them up. And it was when Moshe Rabbeinu finished saying these words, immediately, and the ground opened up from beneath them. The ground opened its mouth. And it swallowed them and their houses, which means their households, the whole family. All the men that were to Korach, meaning all of his possessions. Well, all the people that were with him. And all of the possessions. And they and all that they had went down alive to the grave, to the depths, and the ground covered them up, and they were destroyed, they were lost from the congregation. So the ground opened up, they were all swallowed up. And all the Jews who were around them, they ran away to their sounds, to their screams, as Korach and his people went down, they ran because of the sound of them being swallowed up. Now they had already moved away. That was what Moshe Rabbeinu told them to do, move away. But now that this was happening, they were frightened even more, and they ran. Ki amru, for they said, pen tivla'enu ha'aretz, lest the ground swallow us up. They were afraid of being swallowed up. Ve'esh yotza me'es Hashem, and a fire came out from Hashem. Va'tochal es ha'cha me'eshim u'masayim ish, and it swallowed, it consumed the 250 men, makrive haketores, those who brought the ketores. They are not killed by being swallowed by the ground, but rather they are killed by the fire coming down and destroying them. That piece about them being destroyed by fire, we'll talk about Meretz Hashem next time. So here we have that incredible miracle that the ground opens up and Korach and his men are destroyed. The Gemara tells us an interesting story where one of the sages of the Gemara is led by a nomad, led to a place that he says is the very place in the wilderness where Korach and his men were swallowed up. And you put your ear to the ground and you can hear them saying, Moshe v'sorah, so Emes Moshe and his Torah are true. where they announce that the truth of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Emes, Visora, so Emes, that song that we sing, Moshe is true and his Torah is true, it comes from this Gemara, that Korach, that is what they say now, that they are under the ground. We also know that Korach's three sons were not destroyed, we mentioned this before, on their way down, a ledge opened up because they did teshuva on the way down, and they were spared, they were saved, they actually became great tzaddikim, and from them comes Shmuel Hanavi. So that is the demise of Korach and his people. This was a necessary thing to happen, that there be such a dramatic destruction of Korach, because, as we said, Korach was questioning the entire authenticity of the Torah. And there needed to be a very, very clear response from Hashem that Aaron is the Kohen Gadol, and Moshe Rabbeinu speaks the truth, he speaks the Torah. If you hold the place here on page 826, in Parshas Korach, and turn to Parshas Ekev in Sefer Devarim. And in Parshas Ekev in Sefer Devarim, in Perek Yud Aleph, chapter 11, and it's on page 992, Pasuk Vav, verse 6. 992, Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Here we have Moshe Rabbeinu is going through many of the things that happened to us in the Midbar, in the wilderness, and what Hashem did. And he recaps the story here of the demise of Dasan and Aviram. Va'asher asa l'Dasan v'la'aviram b'nei Eliyav ben Reuven, that he did to Dasan and Aviram, the sons of Eliyav, the son of Reuven, asher patzus ha'aretz espia, that the ground opened its mouth, v'ativla'im v'es batehem v'as ahalehem, and it swallowed them and their households and their tents, v'es kol ha'yakum asher b'raglehem, and all that, how they translated here, and all of the fortunes at their feet, the care of Kol Yisrael in the midst of all the Jewish people. It refers to their fortunes as Yikum. Yikum comes from the word come, to stand. Rashi tells us why is the fortune of a person called Yikum, that which stands. Zemamono shaladim, this is the wealth of a person, shemamido al raglav, it stands him on his feet. A person is obviously does not need his money or his wealth to be alive, but that which gives a person standing is their wealth, is their money. That's what gives them the ability to do things in this world. The language here is that the ground opened up and swallowed them up. In the midst of all the Jewish people, bekerev kol Yisrael, in the midst of all the Jewish people. That's the language of the Pasuk. So here we have a debate between the sages of the Mishnah, and Rashi quotes it over here. Rashi says as follows: Kol makom shaya echa mehem boreach, wherever one of them would run away, because as the ground opened up, some of them tried to escape, they ran away. Haaretz nivkas mitachtav ubal aso, the ground would open up from beneath that person and swallow them up. So you couldn't escape. Wherever anybody ran, the ground would open up and swallow them. Eilu divrei Rabbi Yehuda, these are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Amar lo Rabbi Nechemya, Rabbi Nechemya said to Rabbi Yehuda, just to give you context, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya are both students of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Nechemya said to Rabbi Yehuda, V'halo kvar ne'mar, but the Pasuk already says, V'tiftachar etzes piha, the ground opened its mouth, V'lo piyo seha, not its mouths, plural, there was only one hole in the ground, only one pit that they fell into. So if according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, it means that there were several. Amar lo, so Rabbi Yehuda said back to Rabbi Nechemya, Umani mekayim bekerav kol Yisrael. So then how do I establish the verse that they were swallowed up in the midst of all the Jewish people? According to you, Rabbi Nechemya, there was only one pit that's not amongst all the Jewish people, that's in one place. Amar lo, so Rabbi Nechemya said to Rabbi Yehuda, Shenasis haaretz madron kemashpech. The ground became sloped like a funnel. V'chol makom shaya echad mehem, wherever one of them was, haya misgalgel uba ad makom habekia, he would roll and come to the place where there was the pit in the ground. The pit was only in one place, but there was a madron, there was a slope. Wherever one of them would run, the ground would slope beneath them, and they would roll to the area of the pit and fall into that pit in the ground. This is, as I mentioned before, the very targeted punishment that happened. As the ground opened up, there were several, many people who were being swallowed up. An entire three families were being swallowed up. And some of them tried to run away. You would think some of them actually got perhaps close to another Jew who was not supposed to be swallowed up. Well, the ground would slope underneath the one who was supposed to be swallowed up, and they would therefore roll towards the hole and fall into the hole. And as I mentioned before, it means the tents don't have to be so close together. There was one pit in the ground, everybody witnessed this, and they all fell into the pit, and it was, as I said, very targeted. Whoever tried to get away, who needed to be in that pit, the ground would slope beneath them, they would fall into it, and whoever was not supposed to fall into the pit did not. The ground prevented them from falling in. Let's turn back to our Psukim on 826. So we have this destruction of Korach. Now, let's go back to the Pasuk Lamed verse 30. There we translated it, V'im Briya Yivra Hashem, if Hashem will create a creation. This is Moshe Rabbeinu saying, if they die a regular death, well, then Hashem did not send me. But if Hashem creates a creation and the ground opens up, etc., then you know that these people angered Hashem. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin is bothered. I believe it's Kuf Yud Amalaf 110a. The Gemara is bothered by the problem. What do you mean if Hashem will create a creation? We know that the Pasuk says in Koheles, Ein Kol Chadash Tachas HaShemesh, there's nothing new under the sun. There are no new creations. Ever since the 6 days of creation are over, there are no new creations. That everything is just built on what already happened, whatever already was created. So what do you mean that if Hashem will create a creation? That's not going to happen. Moreover, we know the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that several things were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, at the very end of the 6 days of creation, right before Shabbos began, there were several things that were created. One of them is the Pi Haaretz, the mouth of the ground. There's the Pi HaBe'er, the mouth of the well of Miriam. There's the Pi HaAson, the mouth of the donkey that speaks to Bilam, and many other things as well. And one of the things is the Pi HaAretz, the mouth of the ground, was created then. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew that. So what do you mean if Hashem will create a creation? It was already created. So what does this mean? So the Gemara tells us what it means is as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu says, if Hashem, when he created that pit in the ground, was created here in Bria, if it was already created in this spot, great. But if not, Yivra Hashem, Hashem will create, not that he'll create it anew, but rather he will move it from wherever he created it to this spot. And here it will swallow up these people. Because the purpose of this pit is to swallow up these people, that's why it was created, and therefore, if it's here, that's great, otherwise it will be moved to this place. The Gemara tells us there are several entrances to Gehenim, and this is one of the entrances to Gehenim. Now, Gehenim is a spiritual place, it's not a physical place, but still, just as we know that symbolically the heavens above us are symbolic of the spiritual realm, even though the spiritual realm is not in the sky that we see, nor is it in outer space, but rather it's in a non-physical place. So too, the ground and beneath the ground is symbolic of Gehenim, and even though Gehenim itself is a non-physical place. So, Moshe Rabbeinu says, if Hashem will, if it was here, it'll be here, otherwise it'll move to here. What was the big miracle of this Pi Haaretz, of the mouth of the ground? The fact that a hole opened up in the ground, that's not so miraculous. That happens. Fissures open up in the ground. Sinkholes open up in the ground. Earthquakes create holes in the ground. It happens. But what is miraculous here are, well, first of all, it was done on demand. Moshe Rabbeinu says it's going to happen now, and it does. But more than that, the ground opens its mouth, they get swallowed up, and it closes its mouth, as the Ramban explains. It opens and it closes, like a real mouth. Regularly, a fissure in the ground opens and stays open, or at least doesn't close immediately. Here, it opened, they went down, it closed. literally like a mouth. A very, very dramatic end and demise to these people, again, to preserve the authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu and the authenticity, ultimately, of the Torah itself. I mentioned last night when I gave the shiur just a brief point about Gehenim, even though it's not so directly relevant to this class, but just to be aware that the Ramchal writes that, Rav Moshe Chaim Letzato writes that what's the purpose of Gehenim anyway? Why is there such an institution called Gehenim? And he explains, because without Gehenim, then what would happen is that when a person dies, if they merited the world to come, they get it, and if not, they're done. And they are obliterated forever. And they do not enter into Hashem's ultimate plan, ultimate goal for all of creation, all of humanity. That's what would happen. Gehenim actually increases the amount of people who merit to be in the world to come. Because what Gehenim does is that a person who otherwise would not deserve to get into the world to come can go through a purification process called Gehenim, and then from there be able to emerge and join the everybody else in the world to come. Their portion is not as good as it would be if they didn't need to go through Gehenim. And of course, it would be better not to have to go through Gehenim, but that is the function of that place. So it has actually a positive reason for its existence. Now, not everybody who ends up in Gehenim ends up in Olam Haba, and there is a discussion in the Gemara whether Korach and his group lost their portion in the world to come, that they have no chilek in Olam Haba. There is a discussion of this nature in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So the Gemara tells us, as we said, that you have this creation called the Pi Haaretz, and it was created, as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos began. What does that mean, it was created Erev Shabbos right before Shabbos began? What's the import of that? It was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. So if you think about it, as an analogy to one who's getting ready for Shabbos, we know that those things that are the main preparations for Shabbos, the important main preparations for Shabbos, they are not left to right before Shabbos begins. They are generally time-consuming, and they're generally well thought out and prepared in advance. The main cooking, the main preparing, cleaning, etc., that's all done earlier on Friday or even earlier in the week, because those are the main preparations for Shabbos, and they need to be done earlier. So too, the main parts of creation were done prior, not right before Shabbos began. What happens in our homes right before Shabbos begins? All the last minute details, the things, oh yeah, I forgot, oh yeah, I gotta take it. And they're last minute details, which generally are not the main preparations for Shabbos, but they are things that make Shabbos better. Meaning, if we wouldn't do all those last minute things, we would survive. It may not be great, it may not be perfect, we may have forgot to set the alarm clock, we may have forgotten to set the thermostat, we may have forgotten to set the lights, we may have forgotten to put the item up on the flame, whatever it is that we're doing, the last minute things, those last minute things, it wouldn't be great if we forgot to do those things. We would be either more limited or wouldn't have as much enjoyment, but we would still have generally Shabbos. It just wouldn't be as great. So too, these items that were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, symbolically Hashem is showing that these items, they're not the main part of creation. Creation, meaning the goal of creation, having the world the way Hashem wanted it to be and that it should reach its fruition, which is the entire world coming to recognize Hashem and to reach Shlemus, to reach perfection, that can happen without all of these things that were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos right before Shabbos begins. However, it wouldn't be as perfect, it wouldn't be as beautiful, it wouldn't be as pleasurable, it wouldn't be as great, as nice, as wonderful as it can be. And these items, they're the icing on the cake, they're the bow, the ribbon on the present. These are the things that give the whole purpose of creation that flourish, That was what was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. If this Pi Haaretz, this mouth of the ground, was created at that time, then one has to understand it was not a foregone conclusion at that time that there would be a Korach. There didn't have to be a Korach. Korach could have done teshuva. Korach could have not rebelled. Korach had free will. There didn't have to be this whole story here in the Chumash just because the mouth of the ground was created. Well, if this wouldn't have happened, then why was the mouth of the ground created? So you could say it was created just in case. But it seems that if it was created, it had to have a purpose, whether somebody sinned in the way that Korach did or not. And therefore, one has to say that the mouth of the ground serves the purpose of what it did here. The mouth of the ground is to preserve the authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Torah. That is the purpose of its creation. Had it not been created, would we still have the authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu, and would we still have the authenticity of the Torah? Of course we would. Korach still would have been destroyed, but it would not have been as dramatic. It would not have been an incredible story. And therefore, it would not have so dramatically amplified the authenticity of the Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu. And so, would we still have the Torah and still have Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah? Would we still be able to reach where we need to get to? Yes, but it would be more difficult. The questions would still linger. Is Moshe Rabbeinu authentic or not? It would be more difficult to understand is the Torah's authenticity. The Pi Haaretz, the creation of that mouth in the ground, that, as we said, is the flourish. It's the icing on the cake. It gives us that confidence to understand and to know that Moshe emes visoraso emes. Had Korach not sinned, there still would have been a mouth in the ground. Would it ever have swallowed anybody? Apparently not. Maybe not. But it would have still been somehow known. We would have known about the pit in the ground. How would we know about it? I don't know how we would know about it, because it didn't happen. Because the way we found out about it was through the swallowing of Korach. But without the swallowing of Korach, we still would have been aware of it, and it still would have been our ticket to having a full and clear picture of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Torah being emes. It still would have been, whether it would have been something which would have appeared as a threat, or like with the Torah, that Hashem is kafalim har kagigis, he put a mountain over their heads, or something like that, or it would have been something that Moshe Rabbeinu would have shown everybody, look what you did, what didn't happen to you, I don't know. But somehow, the pit in the ground would have somehow been something that would have been the thing that would have reinforced for us the authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pi Haaretz, the mouth of the ground. So as we said, we have now reached the point where they are gone. Korach, Dathan, and Aviram are destroyed, and we now have the 250 men who have been consumed by fire, and we are now ready for the next point, which will be next week's class. And just so you understand where we are, so think about it for a moment. All of the Jews have witnessed this calamity, this unbelievable, miraculous destruction, utter destruction of those who rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu. All the Jews had been enticed one way or another, to one degree or another, to join Korach's rebellion. And Moshe Rabbeinu David and saved all of them, and instead only the sinners were killed. And they screamed on their way down, and people ran away, and the ground opened up, boom, and swallowed them. Now what? Now what? What happens next? It would seem to me that once that ground swallowed up, there would have been just awestruck silence. People would be like staring wide-eyed at what had just happened. And the men, the 250 men, fire comes out and consumes them. So people must have been trembling and wide-eyed, open-mouthed. Now what? What happens next? What's the proper reaction to all of this? What's the improper reaction to all of this? What is the next part of the story? That's almost as important as what just happened. So, Mirtz Hashem, next week we will discuss starting with that point.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.